This episode is part of a new segment that I'm doing on my podcast. The point of it is to answer listener questions. The following question is one that was submitted to me recently.
Is there really a book of secrets? This is Chuck from Michigan.
That is a great question. Thanks for asking. I just want to say that you are not alone in asking this question. In a presentation for the National Archives, author David Priest discusses a book he wrote. The book is called The President's Book of Secrets. During his lecture, he tells a story about President Bill Clinton. As the author describes it, on one particular day during his presidency, Clinton opened a book on his desk. A book full of classified secrets, the likes of which very few have access to. What he saw terrified him. The contents of the briefing described a world set on fire, a world unhinged and on the verge of catastrophe. The president could not believe what he was reading. How could things have changed so rapidly? Just in the last 24 hours, he is reading the daily presidential briefing. On this particular day, it is Bill Clinton's birthday, and the CIA has just played a prank on him. The briefing book he is reading is fake. The intelligence officers in the room are laughing at him. All jokes aside, the real book is given to Clinton. It is a book designed to keep the president informed of what has happened in the world and the United States in the past 24 hours. Compiled by the CIA and full of things you and I most likely will never see in our lifetime. It is a long tradition started under the JFK administration. It has changed forms and evolved with the times, yet there is one thing that remains the same. If something monumentous happens in the classified world, it will likely end up in that book. Its official name is the President's Daily Brief, yet it is known in the intelligence community by a different name. It's simply called The Book. Most of these books are still classified. CIA historians who have access declassify certain things occasionally, but as a whole, we do not know what they contain. It is the President's Book of Secrets, yet as opposed to one book, it is closer to a library in volume. The History Channel documentary series, America's Book of Secrets, alludes to the possible existence of a book that holds the answers to America's hidden history. Answers to many conspiracies that have captivated people for decades. It never makes the claim that such a book actually exists. Instead, it uses the concept as a narrative vehicle, a way to look at what goes on behind the scenes within government. Does a single book that gives you a crash course on every major secret or conspiracy in U.S. history exist? A book that is passed from president to president like an initiation into a club of secrets. I cannot say definitively that it does or does not exist. I choose not to speculate on the existence of something whose entire purpose is to be a secret. It is not fundamentally impossible. With my luck, I would say it does not, and next week it will be the New York Times bestseller. Instead, I would like to refer to what the Library of Congress has to say. On October 15, 2014, a research specialist in the Library of Congress's Digital Reference Section published an article titled "The Book of Secrets and Other Secret Books." The article discusses how the Library of Congress receives a lot of requests to find hard-to-find books. One they receive a lot of requests for is the President's Book of Secrets, a book they say is widely and definitively known not to exist. Here is a quote from the article. "The most common requested example is the President's Book of Secrets, as depicted in the film National Treasure Book of Secrets. The book is a fictional invention for the plot of the movie." It might seem like a misguided effort on these people's part. I would like to credit them, though. for at least contacting a reputable library in search of the truth. These days, the line between conspiracy and true history is simply a click away. This does not mean there is no truth out there that has yet to be uncovered. It is not entirely wrong to believe we do not have the full picture. The scope of still classified documents that tell a million stories is so enormous, I do not know how to quantify its number. I cannot find that number. I have looked. If you know where to find the exact number of how many classified documents exist within the U.S. federal government, please reach out to me. I'm very curious. The reality is that some documents might never see the light of day. There are organizations in the government that cannot be forced to ever reveal their secrets. Many of their programs fall under a term of classification called born classified, meaning they are sealed from the moment they transpire. Bill Clinton would encounter this during his presidency.
We discovered soon after I entered office that with the specter of an atomic war looming like Armageddon, far nearer than it does today, the United States government actually did carry out on our citizens experiments involving radiation. That's when I ordered the creation of this committee. We declassified thousands of pages of documents. We gave committee members the keys to the government's doors, file cabinets, and safes. For the last year and a half, the only thing that stood between them and the truth were all the late nights and hard work they had to put in. What this committee learned, I would like to review today with a little more detail than Dr. Faden said, because I think it must be engraved on our national memory. Thousands of government-sponsored experiments did take place at hospitals, universities, and military bases around our nation. The goal was to understand the effects of radiation exposure on the human body. While most of the tests were ethical by any standards, some were unethical, not only by today's standards, but by the standards of the time in which they were conducted. They failed both the test of our national values and the test of humanity. In one scientists injected plutonium into 18 patients without their knowledge. In another, doctors exposed indigent cancer patients to excessive doses of radiation, a treatment from which it is virtually impossible that they could ever benefit. Informed consent was withheld. Americans were kept in the dark about the effects of what was being done to them. The deception extended beyond the test subjects themselves to encompass their families and the American people as a whole. For these experiments were kept secret, and they were shrouded not for a compelling reason of national security, but for the simple fear of embarrassment. And that was wrong. Those who led the government when these decisions were made are no longer here to take responsibility for what they did. They're not here to apologize to the survivors, the family members of the communities whose lives were darkened by the shadow of the atom and these choices.
On January 15, 1994, President Bill Clinton formed the Advisory Committee on Human Radiation Experiments, chaired by Ruth Faden of the Johns Hopkins Berman Institute of Bioethics. She was picked due to her experience in the medical field and her experience dealing with ethics. A journalist by the name of Eileen Welsom had brought to light decades of horrible human radiation tests that had been conducted on U.S. citizens. It is a subject I plan on releasing an episode on in the future. If you want to know more about it, you can simply search the term human radiation experiments. Clinton gave sweeping declassification authority to the committee. The purpose was to get to the truth of what had happened and to tell the public. At the center of the investigation is a department of the government that rarely gets talked about, yet it has wielded enormous power. The Atomic Energy Commission. an organization with the Bourne classified status, holding the secrets of nuclear power and its weaponization. It can never be forced to reveal secrets it does not want to. President Clinton sent an order for declassification to the Atomic Energy Commission. The committee was seeking the details of operations the Atomic Energy Commission had conducted at Area 51. He received an answer: "You do not have the need to know." He would never get his answer. We still do not know. We don't know what the Atomic Energy Commission was doing in their laboratories at Area 51. The point I'm trying to make is there are secrets that just don't come out. This is exactly the stuff conspiracies are built upon. A secretive, powerful government agency caught running horrible tests on many unsuspecting Americans. It is not a conspiracy. It has been deeply proven to have happened. Yet, from what we can tell, we don't have the full story. There are elements of it that are still in the dark. The U.S. president not having the authorization to access them. If a book of secrets existed, I don't know if the president would truly have the need to know all of it. One of the things Clinton complained about, the briefings that he received, was that he didn't feel like he was getting all the answers that he wanted. The article from the Library of Congress I referenced earlier has this to say about the magnitude of keeping a nation's record of secrets. The National Archives and Records Administration keeps extensive records on investigations, such as that regarding the Kennedy assassination, something allegedly contained in the Book of Secrets. Many of these records are classified and not open to the public, at least for a certain period of time. But records of that sort usually involve thousands of pages of documents and would be managed by archivists with security clearances, not neatly contained in a single volume that could be passed from one president to another. So that is their official statement on the topic. I will say this: even if there is some shred of truth to this concept, the information would be enormous and hard to digest as one individual. The president's daily briefing was actually created because JFK was too busy and impatient to read the massive stacks of intelligence briefings he was being given daily. It is more likely that intelligence officers would like to tell the president more classified information, not less. Getting them to take the time has always been the challenge. Author David Priest makes one thing clear. It has been a continuing challenge for the CIA to get U.S. presidents to take the time to read their small book of secrets, and that only contains the contents of one day. I hope this answer helps. Thanks again for the question.